Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5.0 out of 10 dining experience, the objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good. Friend of the Doughboys, Marissa Pinson and John Glover were the most recent guests as they reviewed Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many Costco hot dogs they could fit in their mouths. Damn, I wish I was on that episode. I'd crush that. Head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast, FINEDININGPODCAST, and click B's giveaway to enter a giveaway for an all expenses paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current front runner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at 5.02 out of 10 for you and up to three of your friends. And you could watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th episode. Disclaimer, $50 will be provided for transportation along with a $200 Applebee gift card. I love doing those fast read disclaimer things. Go give Fine Dining a listen, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Growing up, cereal was one of the best parts of being a kid. But it goes away fast as you get older because you can't have that much sugar and carbs that you really shouldn't be eating, you know, first thing in the morning or right before bed. But luckily for me, there's Magic Spoon, which is 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. The honey nut flavor has 1 gram of sugar, and I really like that one. Only 140 calories a serving, keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, and low-carb. You could build your own box. There's 9 available flavors to build your very own custom bundle are cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, cookies and cream, maple waffle, blueberry muffin, cinnamon roll, and honey nut. Even more exciting, Magic Spoon just brought back their cereal bars. They were so popular that they brought them back permanently. It's the perfectly convenient on-the-go companion for your cereal. Pretty dope that they added bars. I'm usually just a cereal guy, but their bars are pretty solid as well. And you've heard me here every week talking about the maple waffle. That's my favorite flavor. It's got a taste to it that's interesting. I can't compare it to any other famous cereals, but if you give it a bite, let me know. Stoked to get back to my honey nut tonight after dinner as my little dessert. Why don't you go to magicspoon.com/ham to grab a custom bundle of cereal and be sure to use our promo code HAM at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's back with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/ham and use the code HAM to save $5. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. Yay! Without you, Magic Spoon, I'd be nothing. What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy, standing 6'2", 298 pounds, weighed himself this morning after 3 dumps. It's from the South Shore of Nassau County, Long Island. It's me, Johnny G. All you gotta do is trust me, Jackson, Maine. Joining me in the High and Mighty Studios is my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus, who I just woke up and scared the shit out of. And for the record, Arthur is a dog. People forget that. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios, a friend, a comedy writer, a stand-up comedian, a podcaster himself. Holy shit, it's Solomon Giordio!
Oh my god, I haven't heard that voice. That's one of my... Oh, wow. That was probably the best introduction I've ever gotten into... just in life. I was going to say podcast, but let's narrow it down to just life.
One time I hosted a couple of stand-up shows in New York, and I introduced people like a wrestler or like a basketball player, and every comic afterwards was like, that was really fun. That was cool that you got the energy all hyped. And I was like, yeah, it's a lot of work, but maybe I should do it for it myself.
I did it for Ron Funches once back when we were like baby comics. And I, cause I can,
I don't know why I just pictured you two guys like in like Muppet Baby wardrobe, like walking like together with your two very specific frames.
I think it says something like, I use something really like cliche, like the ticket price pays for the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge.
Yeah. That shit
Ronald
rules.
Ronald Funches. Yeah, I can.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, Solomon, I appreciate you coming on the pod. I recently did yours. It may be out at this point when this one airs.
It might not be. We don't know.
It's not out by record time. Could be out by air time.
Because we banked a lot, so I have no idea when anything happens.
That's how I roll, too. This is banking, baby. I'm a bank. Call me Goldman Sachs.
Right to the account. Who knows? If I'm like happy Thanksgiving, happy Kwanzaa, whatever time of year.
Let's get it all out there.
This is happening right now.
We get so political that this can't come out for 18 months because we have to wait for everything to cool off.
Enjoy the 2024 election out there.
Vote the Joe Biden head on the robot spider body this year. Vote blue no matter who, even if it is
Good
Joe
Biden.
Listen up, corn pop. Dude, you wanted to talk sitcoms.
Yes.
And I think we're talking about sitcoms of our youth. I mean, I still love sitcoms now, even though as a comedy person, it's kind of hard to watch some sitcoms because jealousy or scaffold, like you see the scaffolding too much, or you're like, I can't believe I didn't get this. Like, I submitted a packet for this, you know?
Oh, there's times where I'm like, I definitely auditioned for that part.
Yep.
And I didn't get that part. You know what? Never has a sitcom lasted more than a season that has not given me a part. So
hell yeah. You're the curse, dog.
Yeah, maybe you should have considered.
I've had a couple of script deals at Comedy Central over the course of like 20 years of my comedy career, and every single time, everyone in development was new by the time we finally got our shit. Like, yes. People were literally fired, like arguably because they gave us $15,000 to write a fucking script or whatever.
Look, they always do that now. It's like something doesn't work and they just fire a bunch of people. Like, I think, like, I can't, like, didn't, like, Sony fire, like, the most amount of people because of the Emoji Movie?
Oh, yeah. Netflix got, like, one little ding and they're like, they, like, laid off 5% of their workforce or something.
And none of them are the people that brought them to the situation. Right, that they're,
they're pumping they're like, $1 million up the Duffer Brothers' ass a day. And,
But no, we're talking about, I'm like, because that's my obsession with sitcoms was always because that's what we grew up with. But like when we came to America, that was like our comprehension of American culture.
Because awesome. When did you come here? I didn't
like
know
we
this.
Came to America, it was like 1985. Remember like, yeah, we landed like, and it was a blizzard in St. Louis, Missouri. And we're like, fuck this.
I'm always intrigued when immigrants move to like cities I've never even been to after living in the, you know what I mean? Like, I'm always like, what brought your family to St. Louis? Like a job or other family?
I think they're like usually like sponsored through like a church or something. So there's like some sort of association that way.
Oh,
especially
cool.
If you're showing up as like refugees, like there's like some sort of like religious establishment that's like, bring them over here.
We have empathy. Like, we'll help
and
you.
And they'll, they'll set up, like, a housing situation, which is great. And, but we got
That's
there
so cool. Was that
freezing,
I mean,
cold.
You were pretty young at the time, but was that a shock for the fam?
Yeah, I guess so. I would imagine. My family's pretty shocking. There's really not that much of an adjustment for us.
I think you did post a picture of your sibling.
Same bitches, different location. It's really...
Don't worry, we'll break down this language barrier soon, and they'll know we're bitches.
they don't know who we are yet. Let them enjoy this language barrier.
You're not gonna like me once I learn English, motherfucker. I'm coming back hard.
But like, we came to, like, I remember like it was a blizzard, and we just like, it was all we had was a TV, and it was like the first time I ever watched like an I Love Lucy and Three Stooges, and it was like a marathon. And that's what we just sat down and watched, because it's all we could understand was slapstick. So yeah, we were pretty disappointed the first time we met white people.
You met three fat white guys and were so mad that they weren't poking each other in the eyes and shit.
You don't have a vice you can just walk around and put your friend's head in at all times.
I want to get a job at the chocolate factory, like Lucy. Like
a lot less animate. a lot less fun.
That's so funny. My thing to get me into old sitcoms was being a latchkey kid, having parents that worked all the time. So I would have carte blanche, and they had the guilt of, they were like, yeah, they weren't going to be like, come home and do homework if we're not going to be home for 4 hours. I'm like, it ain't happening. So
it's a lie you're living.
So watching stuff that I'm way too young for sitcom wise, and even more violent movie, sexual charged movie wise, the amount of psychosexual thrillers I had under the belt by the time I was 10, the amount of times I saw a man force himself on a woman in a movie was with hindsight, I think about that. And then sitcoms, the amount of tropes that are just burned into my head that I would I would eventually be let down by them never happening in real life. You know, I never got to do a fundraiser to save something. I mean, besides democracy every couple of years here, but I never got to we got to do a dance off to keep the fucking kids, YMCA open and shit. I always wanted
The Christmas episodes, I feel always there's something that's every TV show would do their version of a white Christmas, of one of the characters needing to learn a lesson, or they do their own version of a Christmas carol. Every single one.
Dude, the amount of whole hog, just they always do mistaken identity, a double book date, a locked in a blank, the will they won't they characters trapped somewhere, the weird neighbor, the minority neighbor, you know, these tropes you get
truly over and over. They're tropes, but they're also but they're not I feel there's so many things that are unpredicted. I like anything that becomes a fever dream, and if the show jumps a shark, that to me is when it gets interesting, because anything can happen. And that's what I love.
It's funny that you say it, because now that feels I'm not trying to be interesting politically here. Trust me, never. But it feels America has jumped the shark in that way too, where almost anything can happen. We're going to have a porn star president. We're going to have a president whose genitals we've seen soon enough.
I know where it's your sister's your mom and she's also your grandmother. What? America 2023.
You just get in the sitcom version, it's you're just introduced to a character who's I space travel, and it's what on this show? And it's yep, we've just changed the entire canon of Illinois.
But I remember, you ever seen Small Wonder?
Hell yeah.
Vicky the Robot. There's one specific episode that I always will never forget, because clearly they made a little girl robot, but it's a real person, so she had to grow up. And what they decided on the show was to give her a puberty chip.
Oh. I'm bleeding. Why am I programmed to bleed?
what a weird thing to give to your robot.
I know. It's time the house robot started developing. It's adding tits to your Tesla.
Well, one day she's gonna grow up and get married. No.
No, she doesn't.
She's a robot. What did you make her for? Why does she exist?
Yeah, wait, she's your child? Wait, and she has human siblings? Okay, what the fuck? You couldn't adopt?
Oh my God. It was one of those, why? But it's to them, it's this is a lot, it has to be done in the show. And then it's yeah. Because you don't want a lot, just say the thing is growing up and say nothing about it.
Yeah. Be like, wow, it's a super, modern robot, ages, so it has biomatter. That's funny, because the other one that I kind of always pair with Small Wonder is Out of This World, about the alien woman who can stop, and she I remember she eventually gets other powers from the dad in the cube, like on her certain birthday. Yeah. And I remember that like breaking the format of the show a little. Zach Morris freezing time, I kind of think is another otherworldly thing that I didn't hate growing up. But overall, all the sitcoms we've mentioned so far were all, I've watched and countless more, like TGIF and like watched countless episodes of these shows. But if I'm being honest with myself, even back then, I don't think I thought they were funny. I just enjoyed them for some reason. And it wasn't until like Simpsons, Married with Children, Seinfeld, Friends, these shows started to make me actually laugh. And I actually thought, or maybe my sense of humor was developing at the same time too. I don't know. But I started to be like, these shows are funny. I used to just like Family Matters, but I didn't laugh all too much at it. I watched every episode of Full House, but I couldn't even tell you a thing that was funny in the 600 hours. I could tell you that the Beach Boys were on late.
It was very like, it's entertaining to watch. And that's the thing, like, but they were meant for the whole family. And I feel like they're funny moments, but yeah, no one's like fucking falling over, dying of laughter. But I also feel like the adult humor shows that were available at the time, like I think I was watching Cheers at the time. I thought it was the most boring thing
ever.
I rewatch it now. I'm like, this is the most hilarious fucking
show. It's brilliantly written. Yeah. You're like, I can't believe this was lost. It's so, especially as a kid, if it had that Cheers like tone, like that yellowish tone that made it look a little older and not from the 90s, I had a hard time with it. Like MASH, I was like, what the fuck is this? Now I'm a grown up and I'm like, I hate the look of crisp digital. Give me the
fucking... those things, like, first of all, their fucking theme songs back then sounded like a nap. Like there was this, like, it's just like this do-do-do-do-do, like it's a taxi at the same situation. Right. Who's the Boss had it, like it's like, it was very like low hum of a theme song that you're like, what's going on? This seems like a very
I feel like it's lulling me into something here.
But you're talking about like a fucking Small Wonders theme song, a Full House theme song. That's like, it's just engaging. It's enticing. It's like, get in here,
dude. I miss the theme songs that kind of gave you the pilot. Like like that's out now. They don't do that anymore, but because there's barely any time for opening credits because you got to make your episode 18 minutes long so they can get enough commercials in to keep the lights on at Chevron or whatever however TV works these days. But I like the nanny, out of this world, catch a moonbeam in a jar. Nanny was such a fucking good one. You ever swing on a shooting star, catch a moonbeam in a jar from, out of this world. Like Growing Pains had a fucking banging fucking song. Like,
show me that smile again.
Show me that smile.
Don't waste another minute on your crying.
Oh, fuck, okay, man. Wow. That could, I could sit here and take turns singing sitcom songs, and I would be doing, you have a wonderful
voice. Yeah, I would have
no
problem doing that. It's like, it's a rare condition this day and age. Reading the news. Reading the good news,
the
on
milkman,
page.
The paperboy, evening,
even TV.
That shit, that phrase is burned into my head the way LMNOP is from the alphabet.
God,
it is. Fuck, man,
that's some like Randy Newman level music. That is some fucking joyful fucking song.
It's a joyful song. It's like a minute long, and it drills directly into your cerebral cortex. It goes into your ear and buries itself in your like amygdala, where you can never forget it.
And you just be vacuuming on a Sunday, and then just singing it to yourself. There's so many, like, for me. I miss it. I think that should be a return to form that we need to have soon, is the theme song. Because
I mean, like the sitcoms I watched this year, like, I guess it doesn't even, sitcoms doesn't even feel right anymore, right? It's like now single camera comedies feels like, because like Abbott Elementary and Grand Crew were like the two main sitcoms I watched this year, but they are technically sitcoms. But to me, that doesn't feel like sitcom. For some reason, feels like a multi-camera set these days. Like, I you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, is Dave a sitcom? Like,
I think it's the difference between a half-hour comedy and a sitcom.
Right. And what? And I what? Think, what is that difference?
And I think for me, it is the multi. It has to be multicam to be like sitcom. Just screams multicam. Like
soundstage cam, multicam. Yeah,
single cams. Like it's like this is. It's almost like this can be. This can be art. Like for me, like there's always like you can still have a very very good sitcom like a Golden Girls where it's like joke.
Yeah,
but that live studio audience.
Seinfeld. Yeah,
people hate a live studio audience. For me, it's fucking candy,
dude. I do not mind golden. It. I do not mind it. And I think it's because it is like the soundtrack of my childhood. Yeah. It's just listening to like, ha ha ha. Honestly, like it was really funny. I feel like I said it, I never really found stuff funny, but I wonder if like the laugh track just brought me along for the ride. There was something about being young and the laugh track letting you know where the jokes were that lets you feel like maybe, like especially the ones that were kind of like, a little more, not adult, but, you know, not kiddie, dumb sitcom jokes that had like a little weight to them or a little intellect behind them, you'd be like, oh, I know to laugh there. And then people like your family would be like, whoa, okay, you understand that? You're like, not at all, but I want to play. And like, I think that activates in like a young wannabe comedian's mind of like, okay, well, now I want to know what everyone's joking about and laughing about all the time. Like, I got to know what everyone's talking about.
It's integral. Like, especially like for my again, we were immigrants, so like we weren't understanding what's going on. Our only point of laughter was the laugh track,
right.
And that's the only time my mother laughs when she's watching TV is when she hears a laugh track, because she like a lot of things can go over her head. She does because we'd watch stand up when we were young, and my parents had no idea what they were fucking saying. To this day, they barely understand half the jokes that Eddie Murphy told them, but they would laugh hysterically with the audience because it has the audible laughter.
Yeah, there's an audible laughter, and then go like Eddie Murphy might be the one. Like I think you could watch him on mute and you might laugh. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and if you don't speak his language, once he starts laughing, it's hard not to laugh at his laughs. Yeah, it's yeah, not fucking bad, Giorgio. I like that. That was good. This next sponsor of High and Mighty, it's one of the few sponsors that I literally just chugged 4 seconds before reading this ad. I use Athletic Greens every day because I like to feel like I'm working towards better gut health, more energy, and optimized immune system. And I can't take pills on an empty stomach in the morning. It makes my tummy hurt and makes me a little nauseous. And nothing can get your day going better than some easy to digest nutrients and a big old glass of water, aka hydration. 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, adaptogens. And look, here's the best thing. It's just a small micro habit with big benefits. Something you do every single day and it costs you less than $3 a day and it ain't hard. It supports mental clarity and alertness. It's keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, gluten-free, less than 1 gram of sugar. It helps with a lot of stuff. And I'm a big fan of the product. And I am leaving for a few days and I'm packing it with me. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, especially heading into the flu and cold season. It's just one scoop of in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/mighty. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/mighty to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. It's springtime. Spring has sprung. Stitch Fix, baby. Oh, man. When it comes to looking good, they've got you covered. Say goodbye to endless browsing and hello to fresh picks curated for your size and taste. It eliminates the shopping part. It's like a montage in like an 80s movie. People just holding up shirts. And you're like, nope, nope, yes. All you got to do is take a few minutes, set up your Stitch Fix style profile, answer some questions. Then the expert stylists go to work and they find items exclusively for you. Every piece is handpicked for you. Size, style, and budget. Send you 5 pieces to try on at home. Keep what you love and send back what you don't. Shipping, returns, and exchanges are all very easy and very free. No subscription required. Try once or set up automatic deliveries. There are no hidden fees. I have a few great shirts that fit, and now I know new brands that work for me, and I know Stitch Fix pulls it for me. It's a true delight. Sign up for Stitch Fix and get the season's latest pieces from women, men, and kids. Sign up today at stitchfix.com/mighty to get $20 off your first purchase. That's stitchfix.com/mighty to get $20 off your first purchase. Limited time offer. Purchase within 2 days of sign up. That's stitchfix.com/mighty, baby. stitchfix.com/mighty. Jumped back to your there's also like a layer of like the pattern of jokes, like you, like once you've watched a lot of sitcoms, you know, like you don't need the laugh track to know, like just based on the way people talk or act, yeah, that you're like, I'm just picturing, you know, I've spoke English, the same language as I watched growing up my whole life, but I'm imagining watching it a la like without understanding English, and I feel like you start. First of all, I can only imagine that you're like, if I learned to speak language like English from like Seinfeld, like what that might end up being like. If you like watch, like I taught improv once to a Japanese dude was in my class, and he explained that I'm like, your English is really good. Congrats, man. Like, cause he was like, I've only been here for a couple of months. And I'm like, how'd you get so good? I'm curious. And he's like, I looked up the number one selling book in America and kind of just kept reading it and learning. I'm like, oh, what was that book? And he's like, the Bible. And I was like, wow. I kind of just nodded and I was like, yeah, I guess you can learn English from that. Holy shit. I'm trying to think of the Bible I read, the amount of words in it that I don't know. And English is my first language, my only language. And I was like,
he's just walking around saying bagat. Like, yeah, it's common.
He's like, come on, no man shall lie with another man. Stand up.
You're like, huh? Wow. That is good for him. Good.
Yeah, it worked.
Like, I read the Bible, but I didn't like it. No. I didn't learn anything from it.
No. I went to a fucking class every one weeknight a year, one night a week for fucking 10 years to explain the stories in the Bible for me, and I still don't give a fuck. And as a matter of fact, it made me hate it more because one of those teachers hit me because I was right and they were wrong. And like, I was just being a little wise ass and he couldn't handle it, so he hit me. And I was like, well, this place sucks and I will never respect
Catholicism. Now you lost one. Yeah.
You lost another one. It wasn't the child molesting
God,
shit.
You hear that?
Now I can't deal with the Catholic Church anymore. People are like, now?
Yeah, he hit me.
It landed on my doorstep. I'm learning.
That's the problem. That, you know what? Look, if you can't find a look, as long as you reach the same conclusion that something sucks, doesn't matter how you got there.
Right. Wait, the end justifies the means, brother. Take the ride. Like,
we're on the same side now.
Yeah, bitch, we hate you, God.
I can't really wait. I can't wait to fight God one day.
Was TGIF a big part of your life? Like, yeah, I think we're close
integral.
In age.
Yeah, it was integral. Yeah, I'm 40, and right. it was sort of like I'm definitely like anything that had a middle child, I was on board with because I'm the quintessential middle child. I'm child number 5 of 7.
Oh so. Shit! 6 siblings is I have two young,
too many.
Yeah, objectively, it's objectively a lot to keep track.
It's a lot. It's too many people at once.
I think psychologists would tell you that like you can't live with more than 3 people mentally. You know,
like, if you were in a bedroom and there were just 7 people there with you, you'd be like, I think there's too many people.
I should go
to be allowed in this space. I should leave.
I had 2 younger brothers and our shit was crowded as fuck, so I can only imagine. But that's funny you say that because we loved seeing the brothers represented on screen. You know what I mean? Like, and especially like we were little budding bros. Mm-hmm. So anybody that was like bro-y, like the cousin Cody on Step by Step.
On Step by Step, yeah. Yes.
Of course, like most of the people we loved growing up ended up being like actual scumbags in real life. You know, you're like, oh, okay, he's a piece of shit, of course. A millionaire in the 90s is an asshole now? No way.
Believe it or not. You think it's somewhere around Kickboxer 4. He was like, right. You know what?
Wow. Good pull. He is in Kickboxer 4.
You have no idea. If you're talking about Sasha bro television.
Sasha Mitchell or Sasha something is his name?
Something like that. Yeah, if something was bro in the 90s, I probably witnessed it for gay sexual reasons. I didn't have access to porn back then, so it's if really somebody was a douche in a TV show and a movie, I probably watched Snake Eater, watched all four.
That's really, it's I keep saying that's really funny that you say that. Obviously, the edibles are kicking in, but my upbringing is like, the shit I watched growing up was 1 degree off from being like gay bait. Like, it's like most of the shit I grew up watching is like wrestling, action movies where it's like shirtless, like male gazy shots of men's pecs as like a machine gun fires. And I was obsessed with the male form. I was reading Muscle and Fitness magazine and shit when I was like 13, obsessed with like the gym and lifting weights. Yeah. And I was like, it's literally a road we're all on. And then it's like, well, I'm going to have sex with men. It's like, I'm going to have sex with women, or I'm going to have sex with anybody, like whoever, like wherever you end up going. But for a long time, like in the 80s and 90s, I feel like I was on the same path as
a lot of thin line. Yeah. And I was like, and everybody was like, I'm going to have sex with women. I'm like, that seems like the more harder thing to do from this.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to stay here. I'm gonna fuck the people here. You guys wanna go all the way over there?
You just watch all your friends get off at the heterosexual exit and then you see them crash their cars immediately. The thing about the heterosexual exit, it's hard to find another exit.
There's an easy exit. It was much easier.
We use it as an entrance, but it's fun all around.
Oh, you're gonna try to learn to talk to another gender? Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, you guys, wouldn't it be easier to talk to dudes since you guys have a lot in common?
But no, I remember, God, I'd like watch like, we'd watch wrestling all the time. And my dad was obsessed with it. Like, I remember just watching the Papa Shango make Ultimate Warrior vomit and me walking by going, that's hot.
That's interesting. That seems like something to unpack with a therapist, not here on High and Mighty.
Oh, I don't need to. I think it's perfectly fine.
No, I'm not here to kink shame, but that's because that exact imagery, we're talking jumping the shark and like changing the rules of the world. When Papa Shango put an actual voodoo curse on Ultimate Warrior,
black vomit
coming out of his mouth. This affected me so much as a child. I was truly, truly upset. I was like, you can't do that. Like, magic's not allowed. Like, I couldn't understand. Like, I knew it was fake and I still couldn't even parse. Like, they broke the rules of the, like, the Undertaker was coming back to life, and like, and that didn't bump me as weird. But the second Papa Shango puts a curse on him, I'm like, this is nuts.
I'm over here like drama, theatrics, drag. This is amazing.
That
camp, think bigger, have fun.
Holy shit! Wrestling and drag are very much on a similar
except
path.
Except when drag queens fight, it's usually real.
It's way more dangerous. I always say, like, drag is so in my wheelhouse. Like, I just love. I mean, it's a wonderful art form.
It's just theatrics. It's all. Right. It's like it's big. It's like living large and being big and just having like this fun big persona for stage, which is a fun release too.
Yeah,
like, it's a very fun big release. And
if like, I like to get dressed, I think I would really enjoy drag. But I do. Yeah. I would only be like a drag queen in athleisure wear would be like my thing, and that would be less appealing.
Why it's called stand up comedy,
right? Exactly. So instead, I get on my podcast and put on my lip sync to songs. I host.
No,
bingo
that's
nights.
The issue. Like as I do, like I do my fair share of like makeup and dresses, but I'm just like, but like I can't make it for more than 30 minutes, and then I'm like, stop.
Stop. I gotta say, you posted a recent picture, I think, of your silver hair. Get up, that shit was fucking fire. You look great.
I do my best. This face can be morphed into any form of beautiful creature, but but also
weird,
you know what
weird
I do?
Flex, but okay.
I do remember from wrestling as well was just gold dust, and his power move was just homophobia.
Dude,
truly, he's just playing gay chicken with everyone until they ran away.
Growing up straight in the 90s and 80s was constant gay chicken as well. The amount of like straight friends of mine and gay friends of mine in the long run whose dicks I've touched like over the pants or like who's like ass I've patted or like this like a thing you would like put your fingers up your friend's butt if they were on the stairs in front of you in high school. And it's like, never registered as anything. Almost, it was just like, and then I eventually got to the point where I knew more gay men and was talking more and gay, and I was like, yeah, we do a lot of the same shit.
We did a lot. We did a lot. We did a lot. Oh God, I feel like there was one me and my straight friends did where we called we just gay porn each other. So we just like take whatever space one of us had and just cover it with gay porn, which is like, it was ridiculous that it even ever happened to me.
Oh no,
not me. And you, I can't.
Were you, do you mind me asking, were you in the closet at the time?
No,
you,
no, I wasn't out of time. At the time I was like we were like 18, 19. And I was like, it was just a minor inconvenience for me, but for my friends, it was,
it was
like
just more about it was more about wiping the scotch tape off the walls than, yeah, than anything. Like,
now I got tape on my wall.
Oh yeah. Like, yeah, if you could get your friend to accidentally watch gay porn or see gay porn imagery, that was like a huge win in the 90s. Be like,
Lemon Party.
Oh, lemonparty.org. We put fucking pictures of dicks inside of people's lockers like all the time. Like that. Oh, like, again, I think that's considered sexual assault.
I've never seen a single gay person own a gay porn deck of cards, but I have seen so many straight men.
I got this at a bachelor party.
Own a gay porn deck of cards. Never once have I walked into a gay man's house and be like, hey, you want to play cards? Naked men. The amount of times I've just been like hanging out with a straight dude that's like, look, like, what are you doing?
How funny is this? You're like, funny, I guess. I don't know.
These guys are sucking dicks. And you're like, yeah, I see. You bought that?
And what made you purchase this? And what made you show this to me now? Oh, man, it's...
We're going to play Kings with him. I'm like, okay.
Like flashing your friends. Like, I don't know. Like, oh, yeah. What, like, it's like, pantsing each other. Like the amount of and
yeah, we had a game called Nuts, which was pretty much just us saying nuts while we threw stuff at each other's nuts.
Yeah. We used to all sit like spread eagle on the ground with our feet all touching each other in a big circle. And we would have like a tennis ball that you had to slowly roll.
Oh yes,
you couldn't
yes.
flinch, but like, like just you would like slowly hit each other in the balls all the time, dude. Yeah,
it's the fact that I still have sperm, based on this cruel activity to our nuts that we did to each other,
dude. The amount of nut trauma I experienced between playing sports and being a rowdy hetero boy in the 90s, and then I spent my 20s in Speedos smoking weed and like drinking yellow number five, so I don't think I could fucking I think my motility is like upsetting. There's like one sperm in every load, and he's like,
is yellow number five
along.
Legit?
I don't know. That was just one of the things from my childhood that was like...
It was a low sperm count. I always thought it was like, it shrunk your penis, but I guess it's a low sperm count is the one.
But low sperm count when you're 13, the joke then jumps to shrinks your penis or makes your balls fall. Like anything, you were just like, you could... That was another thing about... We'll talk about sitcoms again shortly, but another thing about the 80s and 90s was like your dick was like, as a boy, your dick was like, if someone said it was weird or small, like it could destroy you emotionally. That is such a weird time where someone's like, oh dude, you can't go in the hot tub, it'll shrink your balls. And it's like, my balls were not shrunk. And everyone's like, yo, his balls shrunk. You know, Gabrus's balls shrunk in the hot tub. And it's like, it's not true. Here comes the TMI parade. A girl gave me a handy in seventh grade.
Oh, that's a TMI?
Jeez. Yeah, not here. Not with you. We're new friends, and we know too much about each other. I love it. But in seventh grade, a girl gave me a handy, and she did like a rodeo grip type situation. And in seventh grade, I'm jerking off every single day, potentially more than once a day. So I am like a pro. And it just didn't work. I was erect, but I didn't finish. And she, like... that got around school. Like she told a friend who told a friend who told a friend, and it came back to me. It was like, Gabrus, I heard you're like weird and you don't come. Like it was like, the rumor was I couldn't come. And that went around, and I had to like come at, like go to my classes like and peers and be like, No, I jerk off so much. And I'm like, now I'm throwing a lovely young woman who gave me a handjob under the bus. And I'm like, and Jen's just not that good at it, okay? And I'm a pro. And now I'm like, and then my friends, older brothers are all calling me jerk off boy because like the whole school knows. And it's like, I guess that's what I'm coming from when I say, if someone finds out something about your dick, it's fun. I'm like, oh, it's very specific to one triggering event in my life.
Sorry. The person that actually is the story about is actually visiting me right now. Is one of my old best friends.
I saw you look over your shoulder. I was like, what?
I was going to tell you a thing. Let me. All right. So I get like, this was before I met him, but we've known each other since we were like 18. And now I'm whispering into the
mic. I love this.
He was gone for like a week from school. And they just started a rumor that they took out one of his nuts.
So
and
true.
When he came back, he got the nickname One Nut. And it didn't go away for years.
Dude, that's the other thing. You can get branded with a nickname that a kid got hit with a discus while the track and field team was practicing. And when he was like a freshman or sophomore, and he was called Heads Up for the entire rest of it. You'd see him in the hallway and we'll go, Heads Up!
Heads Up! Oh, but speaking of fertility issues, that comes up in sitcoms. A lot.
Yes. Well,
a lot.
The thing that I learned when I was young, like when I was in my 20s, was I learned that 40 and 50 year old white straight men were writing sitcoms. That's like, oh. I remember being able to unpack that and be like, it's always about like fertility. It's always about like, I don't do enough chores around the house. There's always like lightness. You know what I mean? It's like, it feels like a lot of dudes just airing their marriage issues via $1 million development deals.
Like, I don't know, the level of impotency that was occurring in the 80s and 90s male writers is high. Because they gave us so many warnings about wearing boxers instead of, like, I think it was an episode of Coach that told me, where he's like, I'm wearing boxers instead of briefs. I'm like, and that's like, I didn't know that was a, like, I was so concerned about low sperm count at a young age that did not involve me whatsoever.
Dude, I was so concerned with parking validation, something that didn't exist in New York, but I saw it so much in sitcoms. I'd always like ask my mom when we left the place, I'm like, did they validate your parking? She's like, what? I just parked in the parking lot. I'm like, oh, okay. I think, like, I laugh at it when it happens in Tommy Boy, and I'm like, I don't even get what they're talking about. And then I move here, and they're like, do you need parking validation? And I was like,
here we are.
Yeah, it, like, unloads my brain, like, oh, shit.
Yeah, I think at least every other sitcom, there's a fertility issue episode.
There's an issue where there's always every sitcom has an episode where like the male patriarch or the old man is doing a physical thing that he couldn't do, that he used to do, or he's getting like he's playing in the company softball game and it's super. And they like there's a lot of like retreading heroic sports moments that is so clearly yeah. Like the dorky ass showrunners, like I could have made the baseball team just like Dan. It's like Danny Tanner or whatever.
That was a Danny Tanner or was that Tony Danza's character?
Oh, it's Tony Danza. Yeah,
he was a former pro player that got injured and got taken out
and became like an oh god, who's the boss? I was so attracted to both Angela and Mona on that show. I think that show kicked off my weird older lady. It's not weird, but my older woman fetish that I is. Look. Has grown with me as I got to be 40. 60-year-olds
They've
got more.
Only gotten older. Yep.
That's the thing I like about old chicks. The older I get, the older they get. The weirder, like, cougar hunter mm-hmm. Matthew McConaughey character from the reboot.
Oh, you're 103? Let's talk.
Fuck yeah. Your will's completely filled out? Okay, that's probably for the best.
Yeah. I don't need to be in it. I'm just here for the now.
I'm here for the now. I'm just here for the fucking lady. Let's go.
Yeah. Keep your diamonds.
Keep your diamonds. That's she was gonna give me a bunch of diamonds. I left you all my diamonds. Relax, sweetheart. I'm gonna give you a pearl necklace. Are you sure? I'm on life support. It's what she would have wanted. Sure, get out of here.
I'm just here for the women.
I'm just here for the lady. Hey, look, I'm just here
to take care of these old ladies. Be on my way. And then the Touched by an Angel theme song starts playing. You just disappear into the clouds.
Oh, it's real. And now I'm unpacking more shit about myself. And this is something I've brought up on this podcast and Raised by TV, my old 90s TV podcast. But a lot of the women that were on TV shows, like the kids, like the girl that I would say, I'll just use the classic nuclear family setup, which a lot of sitcoms do. But like the daughter was always too young, even for me when I was like 14 or 15. Like I was always like, they weren't like, but the moms always were, you know, like beautiful comic actresses. Yeah. And you're like, and I think that's why our generation of straight dudes has such like, I mean, and obviously like led, you know, millions of years, millennia of Oedipal shit and biology going on, but years of breastfeeding going on. But the moms on those shows were always like low key hot. And I never, and like Peg Bundy, Fran Drescher. Another thing I learned talking to people is a lot of the women I grew up having a crush on as a little straight guy were people who ended up being like weirdly gay icons. Not weirdly gay icons, but the coincidence is weird. It's like a lot of the people were like I was obsessed when I got a little older. I was obsessed with Karen from Will and Grace, Megan Mullally. I was like, I found her to be
odd. Tits out, looking so great all the time.
Yeah. And the thing I realize is that gay dudes love broads. Yeah. Like, and that's my type as well. And it's like, it's like, at, like, you know, my wife worked in marketing, so I have tons of gay male friends over the, not to stereotype, but it's a positive stereotype.
Look, we love bigger than life women.
Yeah, we do. And I'm here for the same thing.
We love broads. I think there's like the variation of I think the best way to explain every trope in one of women in sitcoms is the Golden Girls. All four tropes are right there.
Yes, right.
Of where they dummy, fall under. Yeah.
The dummy, the slut, the old
the
one,
smart ass,
and the wise ass. Yeah. Like that's all. The one who's old and wise, the one who's a smart ass, the one who is a little slutty, and then the one who is
just dumb.
That is a classic. Like Friends hits that, Seinfeld, like all of them hit that. That's really.
But that's Golden Girls. Golden Girls fucking did it without any like very few male interruption.
Golden Girls did it like showing that much variation between four older white women is like that's just good writing.
That's just good writing.
Yeah, great acting as well. Sorry, I should give the women credit as well. Great acting, great writing. Such for them to be such disparate characters, yet to me, a young boy just being like the four old ladies. You know, like I'm like I don't know the four old ladies. But then as you get older and watch it and pay attention, you're like, fuck, these are fully realized characters. So different from that show. Is so fucking good. Like it holds up now. It's crazy. I can't believe I watched it.
The jokes are so hard hitting. And there's so like it's like there's moments that are just like
tight as fuck too.
Fuck. Yeah. Like I can't like that is a caliber of writing I wish I could do.
It's an aspirational level of comedy. It's old fashioned in a way, but it's like the best old fashioned you got where it's like da da doo doo da da doo doo da da doo doo and it just like single 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 double 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 single home run double double singles, you know, like
picture it, Sicily 1913. I'm like, yes, I'm picturing it. I'm fucking there.
I'm in
every
baby.
Fucking time.
Let's ride.
You hit me every time. Like it's
crazy that a show like that you can watch it as a young man and enjoy it as a 10-year-old, then you can watch it as a 30-year-old and have a different feel, and then you watch it as a 40-year-old. And like it works. That shit's like truly a four quadrant show. You know what I mean? Even like put the fifth quadrant of comedy snobs in there, and they'd be a comedy snob could destroy Full House, Step by Step, Family Matters, Home Improvement shows that. But good luck taking down Golden Girls. No fucking way.
I would break your damn neck if you tried to.
Not to mention the wall of defense that Golden Girls would pull up.
Yeah. But it holds up to every scrutiny.
Yes.
There's very few shows that hold up to scrutiny all around.
Right. Some of them are like, it's still funny, but they say the F word a lot. You know, like any 90s thing. Or You're like, or it, it's not offensive, but the jokes suck, you know? And it's like, but Golden Girls never burned any bridges and has just always delivered.
Yeah, man.
I got to meet Betty White. I did a bit.
Did you?
I did an unaired pilot presentation with her. The premise of it was an old celebrity was paired with a young celebrity. They loosened up the term celebrity for the pilot presentation, which allowed me to be partnered with Marla Gibbs.
Yeah, somebody to me. Marla Gibbs? Oh, my God.
Marla Gibbs was my teammate, but on one of the other teams was Betty White and some Disney actress. But Betty White, it was a little upset seeing her at first because I saw like the non-TV Betty White and she's, you know, she was old and she was weak and had a team of people helping her. But it did feel a little like they were placing her and like, okay, you know, earn money for the machine or whatever. And I got kind of like, ooh, this is icky. And I felt bad for Betty. And then they call action and Michelle Collins was hosting this, friend of the pod was hosting this pilot presentation. She's like, Betty White starts unscripted delivering fucking riffs, like responses and crushing. And I literally watched like it was like placing Yoda on stage and then just watching Yoda do the force. And you're like, oh, my God, is this? Are you OK? You seem frail. All of a sudden she's fucking lighting us all up. And I'm like, oh, my God, she's still got. This was like 6 years ago, so she's in her 90s or whatever she was. That's fucking wild.
Yeah, I feel like there's certain like there's certain ways to get into your energy. There are people who have to be on for a little bit before they can like fully be on in camera. But there's just the people that can just be like fully off until somebody says action.
Yeah,
and then they just come into existence. You're like that like I like when people are like I'm a method actor. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Anyone can do that. Anyone can be a piece of shit all day. But I want you want to fucking show off, be completely who you are, and then be somebody else in a heartbeat. That's acting. All right. That is acting.
Dude, I'm the opposite. I'm always on, and then when I'm asked to deliver on camera, I blow it.
Oh, you know what, baby?
I under-deliver.
We went to the same school of acting.
Everyone's like, Gabrus is... I'm like, everyone on the crew loves me. I'm everyone's laughing at me. Then we start rolling, and everyone's like, oh, my God.
It's like, can you stop looking at the camera again, Solomon? Well, if you don't look at the camera, why is it in front of me?
I never plummet in confidence and energy until someone says, I'm the exact, I'm so much more comfortable off camera. I'm like cracking jokes. Like, I don't care who the celebrity on set is. I'm like, hey, that, we're funny. And then it's like time to shoot. And you're like, did you say you want me to pick up the loose leaf and hold the paper?
Sorry, how do you want me to turn the doorknob? Like a doorknob.
So open it, then go through the door. Yeah, that's probably the right order, dude. You're like, okay, just checking.
Just want to make sure. I just want to do it wrong. Okay.
And like you get like the notes that are like, okay, yeah, so this guy is like a fun, normal guy. So if you want to just act normal, that'd be great. You're like, okay, yeah, I'm dropping the ball.
Oh, yeah. Now, like, when they say stuff like that, then now that I lose the definition of normal, like, sorry, how did I usually put my hands? Were they in my pocket all the time? Or were they in my hair? Or were I chewing my finger every day?
I could potentially blame being raised by sitcoms, watching sitcoms all the time. That has affected my idea of like how normal people behave. Because I'm always like, oh, I should say the funny line huge and with my hands like this down the barrel, right? And they're like, no, dude, this is 30 Rock. Relax.
Yeah, just say the words. Like, yeah. No one's gonna laugh? Yeah, this is a single cam. No one needs to laugh. No one should be laughing.
I'm sure most people know this story, but I every time you talk about it, you're supposed to laugh. Rodney Dangerfield, after like the first day or two of Caddyshack, someone was like, Rodney, how you feeling? He's like, I'm miserable. I can't, you know, he finds out that he thinks he's bombing because no one on the crew is laughing at him. He's like, I'm in a room full of people making jokes. No one's reacting. And then it's like the direct, I forget who it was like, Rodney, there's audio and stuff. Like they can't laugh. They'll ruin the take. And it like lit Rodney Dangerfield. He's like, and like, you've been fucking killed. And I'm like, imagine Rodney Dangerfield not confident in his one liners. Like the world is fucked up, man. The world of television and movies can fuck you up.
I've just been here.
We're talking about a show where a world in which Adam Pally is considered the fat one on Happy Endings. And like,
oh
like,
yeah, that's,
and it's like,
yeah,
this is Hollywood is so fucked. <it's>
like, the I'm the girl. Schlubby one. Yeah. You're not the fucking schlubby one. I'll show
you're
you.
You're my hottest friend. You're literally amongst our friend group the guy we consider the handsomest, okay? And you're the schlub on this show. I'm fucked. I'm gonna have to play
Taiju. Take us down a notch.
I'm gonna have to be Brother Shango, Papa Shango's white adopted brother.
Like, I'm already too tall in general. The giant I become every time I've been on set.
Yeah.
It is the most noticeable thing I've ever, like, truly, like, I've never felt like I was in a miniature home than like when I'm walking around on a set up for everybody else.
Dude, my mom used to call me a bull in a china shop because I was like a big, burly kid. And now I never feel that more than when I'm on set. You are tall. You are tall. I am a kind of tall, but I'm wide. And the second I get on set, I'm like, my elbow knocks over a book. I like bump into the actor. I'm like, feel claustrophobic. And they got you in layers because it's TV. Oh, yeah. So now I'm like sweating and I have like, I never even wear long sleeves. And it's like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. You're so uncomfortable. It's brutal. Well,
nothing on set has any weight to it.
Yes.
Because they want to be able to move it very quickly. And it's like, right, you have to understand, I'm not a tiny fucking waif of an individual. If I move, things shift. Right? If it weighs nothing, it will go with me.
Oh man, this is a great name drop story, but I was shot one day on that movie Bombshell that Charlize Theron plays Megyn Kelly in, and my scene was to be a sound guy who's miking up Megyn Kelly, and then I have one line like, "We love you, Megan," but so the action is I'm putting on her sound, her mic, and then I walk away, and the director Jay Roach comes over and is like, I'm so afraid to touch Charlize that I'm like a foot away from her with my hands pretending to put a mic on. Yeah, exactly. And it looks like bad improv. It looks like Emmys level object work. Like, and so I'm like, oh, okay. And so I do it right. And then Charlize is like studying Megyn Kelly on her phone and like trying to match the voice. And she's like, I don't know if I got it to me. And I'm just happened to, because I'm standing there and it's like in between takes. And I'm like, hey, for what it's worth, I think you're nailing it. And like, in order to like continue the conversation, like I like kind of lean on the table, the desk she's sitting at, but off what you're saying, this shit is on fucking wheels. And I go to lean on it to talk to her and it shoves away. I stumble and like, she's like, whoa, whoa, are you okay? Now, you know, like when you get asked if you're okay and you're like, oh, I'm done. I'm the lowest status person on this set. Yeah, everyone hates me. But the fact
I can just hear myself going further down the credits under the key grips.
And Charlize is like, are you okay? And then like you hear like the first AD, oh, can we get Art in here to move this? Oh God. Okay. Like, oh, we got to reset. The guy just pushed the tape. And then you hear like everyone's grumbling about how, and I'm like, just sitting there like, No.
And the problem is, it's not the weight of a regular table.
Yes, exactly. And
it's
on
not
wheels.
The weight. If you don't want somebody to lean on something and you don't put a sign that says, don't lean on this, guess what, motherfucker?
I'm leaning,
I'm gonna
bitch.
Lean on it. There's a good chance I'll lean on it with a sign on it.
Yeah, I'm an idiot. I'm a disrespectful idiot. You're really challenging me here.
You're asking for the worst. You're asking for the worst.
And I will deliver. I promise. I am a piece of shit.
Oh, God. Fuck. The world is meant for nothing but follies for anyone over the height of 6 feet or any remote wideness whatsoever. It's all meant for us to be like, you're going to hit your head. You're going to push this over. You're going to knock this out.
Dude, I threw my back out getting into my car, which is not a low riding car. It's a fucking station wagon. But like the drop from like, I didn't drop properly from my height. And I was like, did I just throw out my back dropping? And I was embarrassed. It happened on like my 37th birthday too. It was like the realest wake up call of like, okay, time to get your shit together.
I threw my back out from getting up too quickly while playing Final Fantasy while lying on the couch.
Okay.
I had so much back that when the bottom of it caught up to the top of it, they were like, hey buddy, where do you think you're going?
Which
you get back down here?
Which Final Fantasy? The 7 remastered?
I think this was a 7 remake.
Oh, awesome. I just started that. I never played 7, even though I loved the Final Fantasy games from Nintendo and Super Nintendo. So I got PS4, and I want a PS5, but I can't fucking get one, so I'm stoked to have a PS4.
I have a PS5. I just wanted to let you know that there's no secret behind it. I know some people who know some people.
Making you now. Pretty fucking cool.
It was honestly my only goal was to get a PS5 so I can have a moment like this on a podcast where somebody says,
"Like, I don't play video games. I just like the big dog." People.
I just got it.
It's still in the
it's
box.
Just there. I'll probably open the box one day.
Once it's worth way more money, I'll resell it. Probably to you fucking sucker. Thanks, bud.
Yeah, they're still sold out, which is insane.
I know, and I'm like at that D-level celebrity shit about to tweet who's got the PS5 connection, you know?
I got really lucky because I was just on eBay at like 2 a.m. Everybody else in the world.
Almost overpaid by like $120 on like a Walmart site. Just did it just to be like, I want to get it now.
I did it. This guy charged only $200 more because it was like right when they came out and everybody charging like $500 plus
more.
They
were getting like straight up scalped.
Yeah. So I was like, you know, this guy's doing it for only $200 more. I'd just pay this price. It's fine.
It's worth it.
Yeah. And was it worth it? I don't really think so, but
I'm happy to have had.
But I'm pretending it is. Yeah. I'm pretending it is.
We're wrapping up here shortly, but I just wanted to talk about one last concept. The sitcom was so. It sounds like it was so comforting to both of us for two different assorted reasons, and I think a lot of people could agree with like the sort of opiate feeling of a sitcom of like, oh, I can just like, and now like we grew up without phones, but it's like now you get like, okay, I got to bang out some emails, but a sitcom's on or whatever. What's the last sitcom that gave you that? I'll start because I have an answer, so I'll give you a second, but. Modern Family, I just randomly, like, on the third season, threw it on Hulu while I was, like, at a job. And I was like, oh, show's kind of funny. Oh, I kind of like these people. And then I managed to watch every single episode. Started to not find the show funny at all. But I started to, like, I would cry in the third act, I would say, 1 and 2 episodes. Every other episode, I was crying in the third act. It was around the time my dad had passed away. Phil and Luke have like he's like a good dad. He's always trying to be a good dad. And like, they always have like a third act dad connection. And that shit just works on me. And I love Julie Bowen because of Happy Gilmore. So like that shit just works on me over. And that was the last, I haven't found a new, like, I loved It's Always Sunny, but I don't think that gave me the same feeling that I got. Modern Family was about like, look, this sweater, it's gross, but I'm comfortable in it when I'm home, so I just want to put it. I know, it's weird. Like, I didn't fully enjoy it, but I couldn't stop. And when it ended, I was like, this sucks that it's over.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of something that got me like that, especially of that many seasons. I think I recently just watched a bunch of episodes of Mom.
Oh, Mom, shit. I love this. Allison Janney.
Allison Janney and Anna Faris. It's pretty simple, but it's like, there's so much. Like, they have new angles because it's about them being addicts and trying to become better mothers, but there's still so many aspects of it that are just very much like a family that's trying to stay close and reconnect. And like, it's really, it feeds a certain need that I like from sitcoms.
Yeah, and
sitcoms.
If you're going to watch a sitcom these days to get that feeling, not a bad idea to watch a Chuck Lorre sitcom. He is the guy. Like, whether you like it or not doesn't matter, but he's making the opiate for the masses sitcoms these
days. Yeah. The rest of his that he does usually, I'm like, I have no like full interest in this. Like, this is probably the one that I'm like, this has a full.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The second part of that is Faris and fucking Janney are two of the best. I love Anna Faris.
Like, I think she's. So
House Bunny is so fucking good, and I don't hear enough people talk about how good House Bunny is.
Her House Bunny is good. Scary Movie, also amazing. She did two, like, great job the whole way through.
Yup. Crushed it, always.
No faults.
I love Scary Movie. That's funny you brought that up. I love that.
That's so, like, she's been good at being funny for so long that she should be, like, she should have an award for it.
Yeah, she has, like, Kenan Thompson level, like, length of staying power in in the comedy world. Like, I mean, no one has Kenan's. He's been on TV since, like, I think he's, like, a little older than me, and he's been on, I've been watching him on TV since I was, like, 11.
In, like, 94, 95.
A few different jobs, yeah. From all that, all the way onto SNL, and, like, just my whole life, Kenan has been on TV doing sketch comedy. My whole life. Now he's also doing sitcoms and shit. The fuck guy's a legend. But I give Anna Faris a little bit of that power, too, because I've been watching her since Scary Movie, and she's been in comedies. She kind of fell off for a hot minute, but I'm glad she's back with Mom.
Look, she's gonna be working for the rest of our lives. And I think, like, she's probably gonna get a renaissance the older she gets too. Like, I feel like Anna Faris is gonna get a moment in the sun.
She's gonna get her, like, Jean Smart. She's gonna get her hacks. Yeah.
Get her Jean Smart, get her Betty White, get her
hopefully a little sooner. Yeah.
Which is disrespectful. It's the way these women in comedy have to wait so long to get the respect they are due.
It's that fucking crazy Hollywood shit where if they don't pop as, like, a sexual object, they, like, we're talking in this mass market sitcom world. If they don't, like, then it's like, well, we don't have a role for a woman who's in her late 20s to late 30s. Ah, 50-year-old woman. We have some roles for you.
Welcome back.
Playing grandma. It's like, I'm 50. I have a 2-year-old kid. This is L.A. I'm on fertility drugs and in the best shape of my life. Oh, yeah. It's like, well, you're a hot grandma, you know?
Yeah. It's, I've worked on one show where one of the, like, I don't want to say the name, but yeah, she was definitely much younger than she's playing. So it's like, so it's very weird to be like, hey, so back in this year, you did this and this. And she's like, yeah, I was 2.
Like, yeah, like Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr. is like 59 when they made The Last Avengers, and he's like having his first kid in the show and in the movie. And you're like, this feels fucking weird, man.
Yeah, his penis should be done by now.
Yeah, he should be toast. Also,
like, based on what he did in general, there should be. If he's not shooting blanks.
Right. Yeah, if I'm concerned about my hot tub speedo time growing up, I think Tony Stark should be concerned with having a fucking radiation in his chest.
Robert Downey Jr.'s penis should be coughing at this point.
Right. Not even Tony Stark, but RDJ.
Tony Stark, everyone
coughing
involved.
Coughing dust. Yeah.
There's a so just a little bit of semen resin in the back, I think.
Excuse me, yeah, the vas deferens is dried up, dry firing out here.
Oh my god,
Solomon, thank you so much for talking sitcoms with me here on High and Mighty. I mentioned The Juice at the top, your podcast, but you want to tell my listeners a little bit about The Juice and whatever else you got going on?
I have a fun little podcast coming out every week called The Juice on Team Coco. It's all about small-scale gossip, none of that celebrity nonsense. We just have a good time talking shit, and we also read off listener submissions. So yeah, give it a listen wherever you listen to podcasts. And I'm Solomon Giorgio all across the board. If there's anyone else out there named Solomon Giorgio, can you just please take them out for me?
Yeah. A, I'm sorry for taking the good handles. And B, you're dead.
You're dead. You're dead to me.
There's that red dot on, like, that laser pointer on you right now. Take the shot. Tango down.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. I had a good time.
Oh, please, man. You're so fucking funny, and I always enjoy talking to you.
You are too. Thanks,
man. This was worth it for the compliment alone.
That's the one compliment.
Yeah, I'll fucking sweat my ass for an hour screaming sitcom facts. And
I think
barely.
You're hilarious too.
We're both crying now. This is actually really, this is affecting me. As always, I'm at Gabrison on everything. I've got two other podcasts, The Action Boys on Patreon, and every Monday night, The Movie Buff Live on Spotify, 8 Pacific, 11 Eastern. And also, July 14th, my travel show premieres on True TV, 101 Places to Party Before You Die, co-hosted with friend and repeat guest Adam Pally. We're getting fucked up traveling the country, trying to do comedy. It's inspired by The Trip and Fuck That's Delicious and Bourdain. It's not scripted, so it's I'm not getting paid that much, but you're going to enjoy the shit out of it. Tune in if you have True TV, or next time you're at your mom's house, put True TV on, because I know they won't be able to figure out how to change it. Just get the rate. Help me get a second season, bitches. Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy, I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold.
Here, come. Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone.
People are loving this movie.
It's actually, it's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now. Somewhere, somehow,
body blow,
someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to, like, see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane.
It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
Oh, there's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators.
We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room with them.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I am Dar.
I'm your dad.
Action, boys. Boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it! Do it! Come on! Do it now!